What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
And me? That makes two voiceover girls.
Oh, okay. What do you get when you have two voiceover girls separated by one pond and two perspectives?
Oh, I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen to Romy and Jessica as they share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, it's Romy Santosh, and welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. So today, we're going to be asking our guests, Sarah, Lorraine, Martin, Suzanne, and Simon, a variety of questions, including, what does it take to become a voiceover artist, and how do you know you are one? So here we go.
What does it take to become a voiceover artist? What would you tell them?
Well, you need a voice. You need to be able to read, and you need some equipment. You need a microphone, a space where you can treat the sound, and you need an audio interface to transfer the sound into a digital
file. So you've already touched on this a little bit in your advice to newcomers. If you had a newcomer ask you, I want to come to you and say, I want to be a voiceover. What does it take to become a voiceover? What would you tell them?
Well, go and do it. Go and train. Go and learn about it. And you need a voice. You need to be able to read. And you need a microphone and a digital interface to transfer the audio into the computer. You need a computer and you need an internet connection as well. I think those are the main things that you need. And go and find out about it.
Very good.
Make sure you have a good internet connection and go out there.
Can we ask you if it's worth the extra money to get the extra speed or whatever? Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know. I know. It is. And it will all need updating after so many years. So these things cost money, don't they? But I don't think you have to spend an awful lot of money to get yourself set up, really. You have to invest time into voice work, working on your voice, and relaxation, I think, is something that is really good to incorporate into your day, your working day. Because you can be working, and before you know it, you start to get really, really tense. And that can affect your voice. So it's important to become aware of your body and do some relaxation techniques and some voice techniques. And Nick Redman, she's brilliant at giving advice as well. And she's got some great podcasts that you can listen for free. So she's a very good contact to have, especially when you're starting out.
Yeah, she's got absolutely amazing energy and very inspiring.
Yeah.
Very inspiring, yeah. Yeah, she's got a lovely voice as well.
So, Sarah, tell us about something that you've learnt along the way or found surprising.
I didn't know that there was anything called medical narration. Medical narration was new to me, but that's a huge thing that you can do.
Oh, I was just saying that medical narration, as it turns out, is one of the more lucrative genres as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I'd never heard of medical narration. Mm-hmm. But of course, I mean, there's all the e-learning stuff as well. And, you know, different companies, lots of companies have got training that they rely on, and they're doing training videos for their staff. So that was a big thing that I didn't really know that there was. What else?
I think you might have already said this, but we were going to ask, in your opinion, how do you know that you're a voiceover?
So, for example, if you do a degree in engineering, you get to an exam, and then after that exam, you can say you're an engineer. But in voiceover, there doesn't seem to be any standardized training or anything. So how do you know that you're a voiceover artist, or at what point would you say you're a voiceover artist?
When you're ready to offer your voice to people in the world, I think that, you know, you need a website to advertise yourself. You need to learn about marketing, networking. But when you're ready to share your voice with the world, I think you can call yourself a voiceover artist. If that's, you know, if you want to pursue that career, you can call yourself a trained voiceover artist if you've done some training. That would be my advice.
I guess you get so many different examples. So some people will buy a mic and within 2 weeks they're saying they're a voiceover artist, whereas other people have been training for years and working for years and they still feel hesitant about it.
In the country that we live in, you can do anything. That's the beauty of it, really, is you can go out and you can do anything. There isn't necessarily a need for a standardisation. There was at one time, you could be a teacher. You didn't have to have training. It's with lots of things. You can be a musician without necessarily having trained at a conservatoire. You can still make your business happen if you put the work in and you want to pursue that career. Whether you're any good at it is another thing.
That's true.
You know, and if you've got your microphone with you or your USB microphone and you're plugging it into your laptop, will you be successful that way? Probably not, but you might record some very good things with it. But it's like anything. If you learn more about the subject, then you become an expert, don't you? But I think what's so great about the country that we live in is that we can do lots of things. We don't have to have a standardisation. We don't have to have necessarily the qualifications to be successful. But you do have to put the work in.
That's brilliant, Sarah. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I think it's really interesting that you are of the opinion that there isn't actually any need for standardisation. And I think that's a valid point, actually. Perhaps we do get stuck in the formalities. Perhaps things should just flow. I think it's really interesting that you think that you can call yourself a voiceover artist when you feel you're ready to offer your voice. That's a lovely perspective, and I really like that. So thank you. Okay, so we're now going to go over to Lorraine. So, Lorraine, from your experience, what would you say it takes to become a voiceover artist?
Perseverance. It takes patience. It takes perseverance. It takes a very thick skin, as I mentioned before. You will get not so much that you're rejected as that they've chosen someone that they liked better. It's like any job interview. Well, you may have been really, really qualified, but they found someone that they liked better. So you go to the next job interview. That's what auditions are, really. You are self-employed. If you're doing this full-time, it's a business. And so you are looking for business. The best part, though, and when I say perseverance, is that after a while, you'll get repeat client. And I have publishers that now they come back to me. Now, and I have one right now who said, yep, I've got another 3 books that are coming. I'll let you know when I'm ready. I don't audition for those. He knows my voice. He knows my work ethics. That's the other thing, is that you need to really be good at generating good relationships and have good work ethics. If they find that you're difficult to work with, they won't hire you back. So be good to them. They'll be good to you. And you have to really be patient and be kind to yourself. Like, don't beat yourself up if you didn't get the job. There are going to be other jobs. And don't also, like, when you're starting off and you listen to all of these people, they've been at it for 20 years, they're making 6 figures. And yeah, they didn't start at 6 figures. They right. probably started like all of us, you know, slogging it off at the other end. Don't be intimidated by someone else's success. You'll get your own. Take your steps one at a time. Learn your craft and just keep going. Like, don't be discouraged, because no one's going to give you things. You earn them. So work at it. Work at your craft. Work at hustling. And I'm preaching to the choir here, I'm sure, but I have to do it myself, because this year I've set a target. So I have to hustle. I have to get out of just the audiobooks and start to look for contracts that are in e-learning or corporate or whatever in the fields that I want to really get into.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Was there anything like really fascinating or super surprising that you were like, wow, I had no idea, that you learned along the way?
That people actually wanted to listen to my voice was a good one. Although I can't.
That's a really good one.
know, I had a similar thing because I used to get made fun of for my voice. And then I was like, nah.
I
was sort of used to hearing the sound of my own voice and having people listen to me because I was a technical trainer for 15 years. But you see, people didn't have a choice. They had to come to me and they had to learn what I had to tell them. Whereas being in a voiceover industry, people have a choice to listen or to turn the sound off. So I find it quite intriguing that, you know, they say, oh, so what do you do? And after we've spoken for a while, they'll say, well, I'm a voiceover artist. And they say, oh, I really love the sound of your voice. I'm going, yeah, you probably would have never said that if I'd said I was a voiceover artist. Yeah.
Right. If I'd have said I was a firefighter, you wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah. But you have a lovely voice. Great firefighter.
So in your opinion, how do you know that you've made it? You're officially a voiceover artist. How would you measure that?
I was an official voiceover artist after I finished my first book and it went online.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm not saying I was the best at it, but I was official. I got paid. So brilliant. I would say that the instant you get paid, you're now a voiceover artist. The quality, the range, that's entirely up to you. But you know what? Last January, I became a voiceover artist that was paid.
Perfect.
Well, otherwise, you know, if you sit there and think, oh, well, I need to have made, you know, $50,000 before. Why? Some people never get paid anything. They just do it as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. They're voiceover artists anyways. What exactly is your goal? And when do you think you should consider yourself a voiceover artist? It's completely up to you. But as far as I'm concerned, I got paid. I'm official.
I think that's great. I love that too. I think what you said right at the beginning about perseverance is what makes you a voiceover artist is so true. I don't think anyone would disagree with that at all. And having good work ethics and being able to build good relationships is absolutely key to becoming a long-term success. And being kind to yourself, that's such an important point too. I love the fact that you think that it's the moment, that first instant that you're paid, you become a voiceover artist. Great. So we're now going to go over to Jessica and you're going to be speaking to Martin.
Okay. So you've mentioned that voiceover is a business and you absolutely have to take it from a business perspective. So if you were to, you know, kind of tell people like, this has been my experience, this is what it takes to be a voiceover business, what would you say that was? What are those things?
Well, I'd say, you know, focus on your, to start with, your performance and your ability to, you know, deliver the message. And I would say then, as you're doing that, you know, work on the business side and learning the business side, you know, I would say that's probably the better order to do things at. And possibly as you're learning for your own sake, you may be realizing that you're good in a certain area and will be putting more focus toward that. Like maybe, I'm really to be good doing video game type reads or video game type genre, then that's maybe where you want to put more focus. And then as on the business side, you'll be doing your marketing more towards video game producers and casting directors and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to let your strengths kind of drive where your business is going to go, because maybe you could be really good at voice message, like IVR, things like that, and then you'd be marketing to a whole different group of people. Or e-learning or medical narration, you know, a whole other thing. You may be going a completely different direction. So I guess that's what I would suggest.
Sounds like good advice.
So was there anything that surprised you or you found fascinating in your journey so far, Martin?
Well, like I mentioned before, the helpfulness of everybody has been something, and it's, I really appreciate it. And, you know, that it's not a cutthroat people trying to throw you under the bus, anything like that. And, so that to me has been maybe the most surprising, because you think of, you know, the Hollywood types or whatever, you know, the stereotypes of, you know, the I can't be bothered with you or something like that thing.
Right.
And it's not, it's my experience at least hasn't been that way at all with that. So that's been for me most surprising. And then I think also the number of genres that are out there and the different, you know, the amount of work you can get in different areas of voiceover is it's pretty amazing. And it seems like it's growing. I mean, and if you think about it, an entire thing like YouTube videos, right, it blows up and suddenly you have people looking for people to narrate their YouTube videos and things mm-hmm. like that, or podcasts. I mean, you know, there's opportunities for voiceover folks, not just to, I mean, host their own podcast if they wanted to do that, but also doing the intros and the outros to the mm-hmm. Podcasts as well. So, and commercials in podcasts, and it just everything is growing, and that's great. It's great for people that are interested in the field and willing to put the time in to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. So in your opinion, when did you know you were officially a voiceover?
Boy, that's great. I'm thinking, I think for me, it's just been, I feel like I'm putting when I was doing a lot of the training and working with a coach, which is, you know, highly recommended, is when I said, do these reads. I mean, you can read, but unless you're getting some feedback from very, you know, qualified coaches, the reads are just, they're great, but they're mostly practice and mm-hmm. you really need some feedback. And so for me, once my coach said, okay, you're at the point now where we're going to make a demo. And so, and it took a while to do that, right? It's not, you're not going to have one meeting with a coach and they're likely not going to say you're ready. Now, there are coaches out there that might offer you, you know, here's a deal. I'll give you 3 training sessions and make your demo. And I guess I would say, look at those a little more skeptically than mm-hmm. most other people, because they may not be serving you. I mean, they may be, you know, interested in teaching you, but then to say after 3 sessions, you're ready for a demo, or it's not realistic, I guess. I mean, perhaps if somebody out there is some amazing prodigy, perhaps they could do that. Mm-hmm. But my understanding, and at least in talking to other people, and has been, there's a lot of people that have made demos too early. So, but for me, after, you know, a lot of training, my coaches said, okay, we're ready. And then making the demo. And then once the demo's completed, he actually said to me, you know, so now you're official. And now that you have a demo, you know, you're officially a voice actor. You know, there you
okay.
go.
Very nice.
Brilliant, Martin. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts there. I love what you said about let your strengths drive where your business goes. I think that's fantastic. You know, why sort of pursue things that might not be right for you? Just let your talent come through and let that take you on your journey in voiceover. Brilliant. And I think it was really interesting when you said that, I think it's great when you said you're officially a voiceover artist when you have your demo, or what we would call a voice reel in the UK. That's fascinating, because obviously we're getting quite different opinions now. So for one person, it might be that you've got paid, that's when you're official. Whereas somebody else might say, well, it's when you've got your website and your demo that you're an official voiceover artist. And for somebody else, it might just be when you're ready. So interesting perspectives here. Lovely. So we're now going to go over to Suzanne. So Jessica, you're going to be asking her first.
Yeah. Is there any advice or warnings or maybe cautionary tales that you might give someone else who's starting in this industry?
Yeah, have some money saved. There is a lot. There are some people who are just naturally talented and they're just wonderful, and they buy a USB mic and they, you know, they do an audition, they get hired, and everything's chickity boo. For me, that's not the case. I've had to invest a lot. You know, there's obviously you have to buy the equipment. That's one thing. But there's coaching, like ongoing coaching. I think the coaching for me has been probably the best investment and the most useful thing I could have. I've had lots of coaches the last year and a half. I've had lots of different coaches. So have money for that. you know, having money saved for courses and for conferences. I mean, the conferences aren't that expensive, but still, you know, being able to go to conferences, even if they're virtual, they still, they still cost money. Also, you know, having a website, you know, you can get a website for $100 and that's fine, but you can also spend thousands of dollars on a website. You know, it's really up to you. And I also invested in some branding. So to get sort of the right look and feel for my branding and my website. So there's that. So just, I would say, don't expect, like, definitely expect to make an investment. Like, this is something that, unless you are already an actor with an agent and your agent sends you voiceover auditions and you just happen to be just naturally amazing, then that's great. But if you're like a normal person, expect to make an investment. And, you know, if you have money saved, that's great. So keep that in mind.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So you kind of gave us a little idea of how you came about voiceover. And you said it was sort of like something kind of in the back of your mind that you had been thinking about there for a few years. But was there anything maybe like more specific that you were like, this, I definitely like, I want to get into voiceover because of this? Or was it just sort of like, I think I'll try that. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, I was originally interested in audiobooks, and I thought, because I listen to audiobooks, I'm a fan. That was kind of like my first thing where I was like, oh, this person gets to tell amazing stories. So I was like, I want to tell stories like this, you know? And so I would just like start reading books out loud. And then I tried recording myself doing this, and I was kind of like, oh, that doesn't sound very good. That's when I kind of realized, oh, there's an art to this. There is a skill. Like a there's skills and arts. Yeah. There's a technique to this, you know. Uh-huh. And it's not just about funny voices, because I really thought at first that VO is just about doing funny voices, and it's totally not about that. Like, I mean, doing funny voices is like 1% of this, because I can do funny voices, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, that's not a character. A funny voice is not a character, and it's not real. Like, I can't, people don't want to listen to a funny voice. They want to listen to a real person. They want to listen to a character. They want to listen to a story that is told by a real person. So for me, I was originally into audiobooks, and I thought, you know, this is the thing for me. But as I, you know, as I've gone through and I've learned more about the industry, I really think that for me, it's more short form narration, like e-learning. I can tell a story in an e-learning project, or I can tell a story in an explainer video, and that's sort of a shorter form. And I guess there was no light bulb moment that said, this is for me. I think it's just, for me, it's the aspect of using my voice, acting, and using some of these technical skills that I've learned over the years. So I think it's just sort of a combination of things that I'm interested in and passionate about.
Oh, okay. So it just sort of comes together nicely in the form of voiceover.
Yeah.
How do you know, or at what point would you call yourself a voiceover artist? Is there a particular sort of marker?
I think when I launched my website, when I had my demo was made and I launched my website, for me, that was when I was like opening the store kind of thing. Like, I was hanging the shingle outside, and that's when I launched for me. So that's when it became, in my mind, a business. So from then on, it was like, okay, that's when I know I'm a voice actor. I've got the website. I've got the demo. I can market myself to people. This is when I'm a voice actor.
Thank you, Susan. I think that's really clear, actually. So for you, you're an official voiceover artist when you have your website and you've got a demo, and that's when you're ready to get out there and market yourself. Very, very clear. So now we're going to go over to Simon and talk to him for a little bit. So Simon, what would you say are the key things to becoming a voiceover artist?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think you just need to have the attitude that you're going to bring your A game to whatever it is that you're doing. And I think it can be very, certainly from my perspective, you know, it can almost be tempting that, you know, you see a whole load of auditions that come in. I'll do all of them. I'll do all of them really quickly. I'll send them off. It's fine, because it's a numbers game. And, you know, maybe that is a strategy, but actually what I'm discovering is, no, that's not necessarily, certainly not for me, the right approach. Be really selective. really selective. Just go for the ones that you actually genuinely have got a chance of getting. So that means having some objectivity. That means being realistic, being honest with yourself, mm-hmm. which can be really tough, by the way. And so I guess it's discipline, really.
Oh, for sure. Especially working from home. You have to be very regimented and disciplined if you want to have success.
Yes, absolutely. I've been lucky enough to be working from home for many years anyway. So, mm-hmm. you know, I have a certain amount of the overall discipline around that. But there is so much to do, so much outreach, so much networking. And, you know, if I thought it was about getting an agent waiting for the phone to ring, I could not have been more wrong. I'm sure there's an element of that, but you have to get to that point.
Right.
Right. So you can certainly do that and go hungry, or you can do whatever it takes appropriately to get inquiries coming to you.
Yes, yes.
So that takes discipline. And realistically, I think that was one of the, not surprises, but was one of the things that I had just not thought through correctly or fully. And so, you know, I had to reset my thinking around that in order to carve up much of my time, or a certain amount of my time, to be doing that part of the business. Outreach, networking, talking.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here.
And by the way, that wasn't necessarily part of my comfort zone, but actually it's really easy. As long as you're organized, it's really easy.
That's cool that you say that. A lot of people are finding that self-marketing is challenging, but I think it's more of what's up in your head. I know my son, actually, just the other day, I was talking to him about how I was going to get on a marketing call. And he's like, Mom, didn't you get a business degree? Didn't you study marketing? And I was like, listen. Corporate marketing is a way different ball game than self-marketing. You know, it's so different. So,
well, that's because there's people, you know, you pick up the phone, call marketing and say, deal with it, hang up. And where that's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your marketing, your PR, your accounts, your product development, your research, you know, it's you.
Yeah. And you're the product, and that feels way different than, you know, something else or somebody else's product. You know, it's a whole lot different.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a huge part of it does come with the right mindset, mm-hmm. By which I mean, because it is just you and there are so many disciplines, it can be so tempting to try to cut corners or do things yourself, which in some areas is absolutely appropriate and the way to go. But if that thing just isn't your strength, don't waste your time on it. Get mm-hmm. somebody else to do it. Yes, it's going to cost you some money. And you have to think about how much money you're prepared to put into it. But surely your time has value too. You know, while you're having sleepless nights or tearing your hair out of this because of this really annoying thing that you just can't get done, get somebody else to do it so you can concentrate on the stuff that you do enjoy and that you do have a skill around.
That's my vision, to have a team of people supporting me, my marketing person and my accounts person and admin person.
Yeah, exactly. My personal assistant.
Yeah. Probably for, yeah, I don't know, 2050 or something.
Well, we need goals, we need visions, you know, we need a direction. And by the way, that's something else that's hugely important, which is, you know, whatever your ultimate goal is, whatever your ultimate vision is, you know, put a marker in the sand, put something out there that gives you something as a direction of travel, that gives you a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, and can help you build towards momentum. It doesn't have to be big, but it has to be something. And the way I think about it, and actually one of the things around the trainings that I was doing where we would talk about goal setting. So I'd say to people, look, you might have a goal to leave the house every morning at 9 a.m. and you'll achieve it, probably, more often than not. But if you don't have a destination to go to after you've left the house, you could end up anywhere. So actually, figure out where it is that you do want to go. And it doesn't have to be the biggest thing in the world. It could just be the park bench. But if you've got that, at least it's a direction. It's something that you can build on.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
So this is what I've been applying to myself. You know, if you look at my goals for the year, there's not that much data. There's not much metrics. There's not much of anything other than a direction of travel and some simple marker posts that lets me know whether I'm, you know, broadly on track or have got completely lost somewhere.
Tell us about your goals. Are you willing to share them with us?
No.
That's okay.
Well, I'm being flippant. You know, what I want to do is build on a strong base. So actually for me, I'm thinking longer term. And so what that means is establishing a good base, a good set of foundations from which I can build. Because although I could probably challenge myself to push, you know, at a certain speed, a certain rate in whichever direction I choose, I don't think that's going to be as effective for me as it could be unless I've got strong foundations. So I did spend time, I did spend money, I did spend effort on, you know, website and everything else that goes with voice. Mm-hmm. You know, not the most expensive microphone, but I'll build on that. But it's good enough for right now. You know, broadcast standard, it's exactly what it should be, but it's not my goal microphone. But I wanted to have that, the idea that there would be a gold microphone that I could work towards, maybe not in one step, but maybe it's two steps, three steps. Mm-hmm. So I've done that, you know, across my work. So that's as far as I'm prepared to go right now.
Absolutely. Step by step. And I think that's the right way to do it. Yeah. Have your goal and then just work out how you're going to get there bit by bit.
Because it has to be achievable. You know, and so this is it. You know, when we say to ourselves, oh, I'm going to get fit, lose weight, and you go out and you try and run a marathon on the very first day or whatever, that's not me because I hate running. But, you know, if you try to do that, you'll always fail. So actually what you need to do is whatever it is that you say, you've got to make it achievable. And then when you've reached that, okay, so now you feel good that you've done that and now you can reach a little bit further for whatever the next step is.
Brilliant, Simon. That's great. Thank you so much. I love the fact that you say that you've got to have an attitude that you're going to give your best. And I really agree with that. What's the point of doing anything unless it's going to be your best? It's about being honest with yourself. So you've got to be able to be honest about how good you are as a voiceover artist and be able to be objective and obviously get feedback. And of course, having a goal, you need to know where you're going. Even if it's a small goal, that's okay. Make it realistic so you can then achieve it. So wonderful. Thank you, Simon. So thank you for joining us for this week's VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. And we'd love you to join in again next time. In the meantime, if you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast on your favorite platform.
Also, connect with us by joining our Facebook group. You can find that at www.facebook.com/groups/VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond. So until the next time, take care.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Jessica, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.